Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082.
Hello, good evening. Here we are again. Deserted Island Dish. It's another Wednesday night live in Sheffield, and I'm very pleased that this evening I've got a lovely man. It's lovely, Keith Shaw. Hello, Keith.
Hello, Ben. How are you?
I'm all right. Yeah, it's good to have you here.
That's good to see you.
Thanks for coming along at last. I've been asking you for it must be getting on for about a year, I think. I've been asking you to come on a show.
Something to do with me being quite nervous and shy and everything else.
I know. Well, you actually are, aren't you? I know there's always like a twinkle in your eye of Keith Short.
Yeah, up to 4 points.
And you don't know whether he's joking or not, but you are actually quite a shy man. And you're like, we'll come on to it, won't we? But part of who you are, what you're known for, is doing your drawing in the Grapes.
Pub. Yeah.
And it does amazing art that you'll see on the walls of the Grapes and Fagin's and other pubs around. And but you sometimes you said that you use that as a bit of a way to not speak to people a bit, and it's, you can kind of just put your head down and do that.
It gives me a chance to sit quietly and have a drink and amongst people that I've come to love over the many years. And I can still sit there and I can't join in conversations that I don't feel I can be part of. I just love drawing, and I'm just so fortunate that I walk amongst giants and they enjoy me being there and I enjoy being part of them. And that's about it.
It's great to have you around. I think I've probably known you about 25 years. But what I'm realising is I probably don't really know you. You know, like, it's like you're in the pub and you'll be there and you'll have a laugh. You know, you're a funny man.
Little fat fella. Little fat fella in the corner.
I know. I've met your wife maybe, I think in 25 years I've probably met her twice, do you think?
Yeah, we've and I'll tell you where you met. You met in the Red Deer.
Yeah.
With your mum. Your mum was there that night.
Yeah.
But yeah, my wife doesn't come out too much with me to the Grapes and through the years over the Dog and Partridge and Fagin's.
Yeah.
She knows what. Well, as you know, I've got PTSD. I had PTSD for many years, and it was her that sent me down to the Irish Triangle to.
Yeah.
Get some sump oil inside me and take the pain away from my legs and the pain away from my head.
Yeah.
And luckily, the Irish people did that for me and the Scottish people, the Celtic. There's just something about them.
In that place, yeah. So, I mean, that's what I'm looking forward to doing over the next hour. So, if people don't know Deserted Island Dish, what we try and do every week is get someone on the show that's... it started off with people who were born in the island of Ireland, and I've run out of those people, Keith. So now we're just doing interesting people. But it's an hour of talking about your life and how you've got to where you are now. But we also have songs. So we're going to have, hopefully, a few songs which are Keith's choice that he's picked that I've got ready to play. But also, Keith is one of my favourite singers in all of Sheffield. He's looking at me now. He doesn't like the compliments. But he's got a beautiful voice. So we're going to get Keith to play a couple of songs as well. So that's something for us all to look forward to. But that's, so you wanted to start really with talking about how you got to the Irish Triangle. Go on, tell us a bit more about that then.
Well, you don't want to start talking about it because it starts in a black place. It starts in a place where my best mate got killed.
Yeah.
I found him in a concrete mixer at Mailing Bridge and I lost the plot a few weeks after and I got PTSD.
Which is kind of understandable. I mean, I've heard you told me this story before,
yes,
but it's a horrendous thing to happen when you were a young man yourself, yeah.
Well, we were a bunch of kids. We weren't a bunch of kids. We were a bunch of blokes, and we were a very, very close bunch of blokes, and we were very competitive. We played Super League darts. We went fishing all over the place, Denmark, England, all over the place. We were a group of blokes, and when you say to people that we were blokes that loved each other,
yeah.
There's nothing untoward about. Yeah. Well,
it's lovely,
nothing.
No, it's a lovely thing to say.
It was just blokes that went out. We loved each other for who we were and what we were. And Bob got killed. And I found him under a concrete mixer. And that did me head in. And I didn't socialise for many years after that.
Yeah.
But then we.
Were you already with your wife at that point?
No. Well, no. My wife. It was my wife's birthday the day after that I found him.
Right.
And we were going away. And Bob had told me on the Monday I was going to be a dad. And he was out of work, so I trained him up in what we'd got as a business. And I said, come on, Bob, there you are. There's a job for you. There's money coming in. Yeah. And he left my house at 25 to 6, and he was dead at 6:15.
Wow.
Concrete lorry turned over him. I got a phone call. Where are you? Where is he? And I rode down the route, and there he was under that with all the cameras and the police and the ambulance and everything. And I couldn't do anything to protect his dignity or anything. So that's why I blew me. I lost the plot.
No,
my daughter was with me, but there we are.
That's you would do, yeah. So your daughter, was...
My daughter was with me. She drove down, Helen. She's absolutely lovely lass. But she drove down and she realised that we got to go around telling everybody, all the friends, the people that we loved, that Bob was no longer with us. And, and I think that was the hardest part of it. I knew how much he was loved with everybody else. And I'd got to be the one bearing this news. And we did that, and I lost the plot. And anyway, I just went walkabout. A few months after, I'd lost the plot, I'd got PTSD, and I just stopped socialising. And my wife took me back home, and I love it to pieces, and I still do, and always have. We've been married 57 years.
Fantastic, yeah.
And she went through all that with me. But when we went back home, about 3 years, 4 years after... this had happened, me being a recluse at that time, social-wise anyway, she said one Christmas, she says, can we go and listen to a choir? There's a Christmas choir on, this was somewhere up Stannington, and we picked her mum up and went and listened to this choir, and I found myself just singing along quietly along with them.
Yeah.
The next thing I know is a lady jabbing me in the shoulder.
Yeah.
She said, would you come and join the choir? And I said, no, I couldn't. Before I know it, her husband's banging on my door. It's Christmas time, saying, come on, we've got a race long money, you're coming with us. And from there, I ended up singing in Barcelona, Montserrat,
place. Well, we should talk about all that in there. It's probably time for a song now, Keith. And I don't know, should we play one of those, the chorus ones or the Bocelli ones?
I like Andrea Bocelli myself. I love the chorus ones anyway. So,
what are your choices? So, should we do what's more associated for you? Because I think what we should talk about next is you being in the choir and stuff and how that changed your life.
In that case, do me the Andrea Bocelli. That'd be lovely.
Okay, so we'll play Andre. Go on, you have to say. I can't say it. Canto della Terra.
You've got it bang on.
Andre Bocelli, and this is Canto della Terra.
Sì, lo so, amore, che io e te forse stiamo insieme solo qualche istante. Zitti, stiamo ad ascoltare il cielo alla finestra, questo mondo che già così lontana, già lontana. Guarda questa terra che gira insieme a noi, anche quando è buio. Guarda questa terra. Per noi a darci un po' di sole, sole.
sento la tua voce e ascolto il mare. Sembra davvero il tuo respiro, l'amore che mi dai, questo amore che sta lì nascosto in mezzo alle sue onde, a tutte le sue onde, come una barca che guarda questa terra. Anche quando è buio, guarda questa terra che gira anche per noi, a darci un po' di sole.
Canto della Terra. That's a first for Deserted Island Disc. Would you believe you're the only person that's picked it, Keith?
I would believe it. I wouldn't believe it, because you've got such quality people come on Deserted Island Disc.
Yeah.
It's just... I love music. I love the sounds of music. And you've got other people coming on here that you wouldn't necessarily think at the first instance that they love that kind of music.
Yeah.
And I know one or two of them that will come on here and they'll surprise you.
Yeah.
Because they do.
Yeah. So tell us why you picked it, Keith.
Do you know what? I told you I was into myself with this PTSD lock. But there's nothing as opening up as music inside yourself.
Yeah.
And I can sit in a corner. Believe it or not, I've got a studio at home that's 30 foot long, 20 foot wide. And in that, I've got banjos, I've got guitars, I've got drums, I've got accordions.
Wow.
I can't play one of them.
Not good. I've never seen you play.
Can't play one of them. But it's just the ambience of the music, and I know the sounds that come from them. And I would have played that almost on a loop many times when I've been painting pictures, painting portraits.
Yeah.
Because I get myself lost. I get myself lost in that. And the sounds, it's not the words, it's the sounds that just draw me in.
Beautiful. That's lovely, that, Keith, yeah. And have you ever tried to play the instruments?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bought a banjo, a four-string Irish banjo, not 3 years ago, because I wanted to learn to play Sweet 16.
Yeah.
Because the very first Irish song that absolutely I fell in love with was Sweet 16 by the Furies.
Yeah.
And all these years on now, I'm 75 now, and all these years on now, this was in the 60s.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't. It was in the 70s. And I'd gone fishing one day with my daughter. I was fly fishing, and my daughter, she's with me. She's full of hay fever. She's sneezing and everything all over. She got all over the place with me. And didn't matter about the hay fever. Dad, I'm coming with you. And she did. And she took me. We went all over. And we were at the Morrell Fishing Reservoir at that time, fly fishing. And the biggest Irishman with the reddest hair that you've seen in all your life, he's walking along the bank. And I'm singing Sweet 16. And my daughter said, Dad, shut up, we'll dump you. Well, she might have said it more like, she's got a bit of snotty nose at the time. But there you go. So I don't know where I'm going with this.
Hey, well, should we play that song?
That would be a great song. Great idea.
Well, it's one of your picks, isn't it? So, yeah. And you could have played the banjo on it.
Well, that's why I bought the banjo.
Yeah.
But the problem was then I got carpal tunnel in my left hand, so I couldn't even learn that. So
no.
I was blown.
So it is a beautiful, beautiful song, one of my favourites. So let's play that. It's the Furies version of When You Are Sweet 16.
That sounds like Thin Lizzy to me.
When first I saw the love light in your eyes, I thought the world held not but joy for me. And even though we've drifted far apart, I never dreamed but what I dreamed. I love you as I've never loved before. Since first I saw you on the village green, come to me in my dreams of love alone. I love you as I loved you when you are sweet, when you are sweet, 16. Never loved before. Since first I saw you on the village green, come to me in my dreams of love alone. I love you as I loved you when you were sweet, when you were sweet, 16.
Sweet 16. I bet you can sing that one well, can't you, Keith?
It's one I'd love to sing, but you need the banjo accompaniment to it.
That's it.
It's all about the banjo.
Yeah, and I bet there's some fine banjo players, weren't they? Mick, he was
Mick McMahon was a great banjo player that was in the Grapes.
So. Yeah, could he play that one? Yeah.
Oh. I never heard him play.
I didn't hear him play that one. No.
Having said that, no, because it's a five-string banjo, but it's played on and mixed with a four-string tenor banjo.
Yeah.
But having said that, me being the idiot I am, I bought a four-string tenor banjo.
So you got the wrong one anyway.
So I got the wrong one anyway, so I didn't lose out.
Yeah. So, yeah, we've got Keith Short, who's my guest on Deserted Island Disc now. Keith, as I say, I've known for 25 years, but he's been a difficult man to get to know over the 25 years. He'll sit and sing and he'll joke with you. And I'm also finding him difficult to get to know tonight, Keith, I have to say. I keep going back to asking you about what we usually do on Deserted Island Disc is start at the beginning. And I finally, in the break, you've told me that you're born in Hackenthorpe area.
Yeah, I was brought up in Hackenthorpe,
which is an area of Sheffield in the south-east bit of Sheffield, isn't it?
Yeah, I went to Carter Lodge School there. The secondary school was Carter Lodge.
Yeah.
The junior school was Burley Spa.
And you're 75 years old now. And then you've hinted at bits of your life. So you're in this construction type of business. Was that a family business, you said?
Oh, no. I was self-employed in construction one time of the day. Yeah. Well, in joinery, I should say, not so much construction. The times were hard, and I got a job at Sheffield Smelting Company, and from nothing in 4 years, I was made up to a superintendent. And then everything fell apart, was made redundant.
Yeah.
And we got no money coming in. I got two daughters, I got a house I was buying, and I got a gorgeous wife, and we ended up buying a burger van.
Right.
And that's where we went with that one. And the Sheffield Cathedral.
So you got a bit of redundancy money too?
Wasn't much, yeah. But I spent 31 years selling burgers and whatever, yeah. And I invented chips, cheese and onion. And don't let anybody tell you I didn't, because I did.
Hold on, I think chips...
Chips, cheese and onion.
Oh, all together, you didn't invent...
The chips were invented before I got there. And the cheese was, and the onions.
All in one plate. Go on, tell us how you invented that one.
Well, I was there one evening, I think it was in September, 1981.
Were you doing it? Was it like a nighttime thing where the pubs are shutting and stuff? Through the night, yeah.
The wife and I, we were trying to get on top of things. Chris, my wife, we were trying to get on top of things. And we, financially, and we were working, through the night, sometimes till 6 in the morning. And we set off at 8 at night. Yeah. And then you got the rest of the day to clean the trailer down properly at home and fetch your stock and everything else. So
yeah.
It was hard work. But
I bet you saw some sights as well at that time.
Oh, yeah. No kidding. Oh, Lord, I could write a book about it. Jeez. We used to have a bus pull up on a Thursday night from Mansfield. Now, these were all miners, these lads, all miners' sons. And they were all hard as nails. And it was funny because the bus driver, he was caged in. They built him a cage on the bus. Because they didn't arrive to us... clean and fresh face. They arrived to us all bruised and battered. You know, they were having a scrap on the bus before they got to us.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then come 2 o'clock in the morning, they'd all turn back up at the burger van. Do all of the burger van before they went down to the pub or wherever we were going. And
good business for you then.
Well, yeah. Oh, I could. I'd then go where, yeah, it was. It was good. Yes, it was. And the lads had all turned back up, and they'd still be fighting when they got back up to the bus. And the bus driver would be sat there looking at me all, I guess, arms up in the air.
Yeah.
And he couldn't do anything. He was boxing in his cage, didn't he? And the bus was rocking and rolling. And this happened every week.
So they're fighting with each other, these lads from
Manchester. Oh, yeah, just with each other. Yeah. They didn't start with anybody else, but yeah. There's some great stories from those days, I'll tell you. Yeah.
So you're doing that in the 80s and...
1981.
Yeah.
That's when the chips, cheese and onion came about, because a vegetarian came up to the trailer. Now, in 1981...
There wasn't many of them about, was there?
No, he didn't get vegetarians. Vegetarian. So this young lady, a vegetarian, says, can you help me? I'm starving. Could you give me something to eat? Just a dried bread cake. I'm absolutely starving. I've had nothing to eat. So I said to her, I'll tell you what, have a go at this. And when you work on a burger van, you get sick of eating the burgers. I mean, you're going sort of 12 hours. You can't be going on a 12-hour shift.
So you
have to have something to eat.
Yeah.
But you get a bit sick of the same stuff. So I did a tray full of hot chips just straight out of the fryer, grated cheddar cheese, mature cheddar on the top of that, and on top of that was fried onions.
Yeah.
And the whole lot melts into itself. And she stood there. She was absolutely starving. She tucked into it like you've never known. The next week, she brought four of her mates back. She was over the moon, how delicious it tasted. And after that, it just went all over.
It took off, yeah. So
they come from Canada. Daniel O'Donnell, I'm not kidding you, Daniel O'Donnell was on at the City Hall. He used to come on once a year at City Hall. And they'd come and queue overnight. They come from Canada to listen to him at the City Hall.
Yeah.
And they come with little bivvies or little chairs. It could be the middle of winter. And they'd turn up and they'd sit there freezing all night. And he was coming down to the van for chips, cheese, and onion. They heard you do chips, cheese, and onion. I invented bloody chips, cheese, and onion. Oh, can we have the chips, cheese, and onion? I've been waiting a year for this.
It's fantastic, true. Yeah. That's good. And now it's a delicacy, you say.
Everybody does it now.
Oh, wow.
The Limit nightclub used to turn out there. You used to go bananas.
Oh, right, the Limit, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's down the road, wasn't it, from where you are? Yeah.
Oh, it's just up, yeah. It was up on towards West Street, right, and everything. But, yeah, the stories from the nightclub. We'd need 3 hours to tell them.
Okay.
Sorry about the burger.
Let's get back to the Irish Triangle then. So roughly how old were you then when you kind of found Dog and Partridge as it was then, was it in Fagin's?
Well, it was in the '90s.
Yeah, sorry.
So I'm 75 now. So we're going back 30, 40, or whatever.
Yeah. So
But it my mate got killed, and I didn't go out. I didn't know what it was like to stop in at that time, but I didn't go out anyway. And my wife told me to get off out because I got arthritis. We found this choir. I started singing with the choir.
Yeah.
And I'd got arthritis in the legs, so my wife says, you know, you need some sump oil. We used to call Guinness sump oil.
Okay.
And she says, you need some sump oil for your legs. She says, you're standing up, sitting down, doing the rehearsals with the choir.
Yeah.
You need some sump oil. Because I used to go home and I was absolutely white. So we went down to the Dog and Partridge.
Yeah.
And there I met a beautiful bloke called John Dowling.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do a quick mention for Pat Crabtree now, because Pat Crabtree brought John Dowling to and from the sessions every night for many, many, many a long year.
Yeah.
And she was there every night. She didn't participate. She brought John.
Yeah,
because John was so well thought of.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say thank you to Pat, because thanks, Pat.
Well, you do that.
We've had
a couple of people. I've got recordings of John Dowling.
Yes.
We'll see how we get on. But with the people who've been on the show before have picked John Dowling. Singing Galway Shore, actually, which is one of your favourites as well, isn't it?
Yeah,
so John Dowling. Amazing man. Mostly on a Monday night when he in Dog and Partridge and the Grapes, and a fantastic fellow. He died about 3 or 4 years ago now, isn't it, I'd say?
I can't exactly place the time.
I'm really bad at
looking back. The PTSD gives me a problem looking back.
You don't want to look back, sorry.
But people like John Dowling, I've got no problem thinking about.
Yeah, lovely man. Yeah. So you'd already kind of done the singing yourself. Had you been singing? Did you know you had a good voice when you were a kid or anything? No. So it's basically.
I'll tell you when I was first. I was about 4 years old. Might have been 5 years old, 5 or 6 years. I don't know. And we lived in semi-detached houses on the council houses.
Yeah.
And so you got one door facing the other doorway. We'd go out of one door, they'd come out the other door. Yeah. And I was singing an Elvis Presley song. And don't ask, you can tell me, ask me what's the name of the song, it's gone out of my head. But I was singing an Elvis Presley song that was famous at the time. And the next door neighbour's daughter said, I didn't know you could sing. And I was so embarrassed and everything else. But since then, I got the misfortune of thinking, well, I can sing.
Yeah, no, I definitely
it's
can.
It's a lot of rubbish,
yeah,
but...
yeah, you definitely can. Well, should we try and prove it with you singing a song live now?
Must I?
Well, I know we might have bigged it up, but I believe you have a wonderful, wonderful voice. And I've I'm in the privileged position of kind of doing requests on her, so I've...
Oh, yeah. I don't do requests.
Would you please sing Roads of Kildare?
The Roads of Kildare.
Roads of Kildare.
Good Lord, that's the first song I sang. It's one of the first songs that I ever sang down in the Grapes and the Dove and Partridge. Yeah, we'll have a go at the Roads of Kildare.
Thank you.
Well, it's a cappella.
Well, that's all we've got.
Oh, Johnny was born in a mansion down in the county of Clare. Rosie was born by the roadside somewhere in County Kildare. Destiny brought them together on Rodney Cloglin one day. Neath a bright Celtic shawl she was singing, oh, she stole his young heart away. For she sang Meet Me Tonight by the campfire, oh, come with me over the hill. Let us be married tomorrow, oh, please let me whisper, I will. Aye, and what if the neighbours are talking? Who cares if your friends stop and stare? You'll be proud to be married to Rosie, who was reared on the roads of Kildare. Oh, think of the parents who reared you. I think of the family name. How could you marry a gypsy? Oh, what a terrible shame. Parents and friends, stop your plaiting. Don't worry about my affairs. For I've fallen in love with a gypsy who was reared on the roads of Kildare. For she sang Meet Me Tonight by the campfire. Oh, come with me over the hill. Let us be married tomorrow. Please let me whisper, I will. Aye, and what if the neighbours are talking? Who cares if your friends stop and stay? He'll be proud to be married to Rosie, who was reared on the roads of Kildare. Oh, think of the parents who reared you. I think of the family name. How could you marry a gypsy? Oh, what a terrible shame. Parents and friends, stop your pleading. Don't worry about my affairs. For I've fallen in love with a gypsy who was reared on the roads of Kildare. For she sang Meet Me Tonight by the campfire. Oh, come with me over the hill. Let us be married tomorrow, please let me whisper, I will. I and what if the neighbours are talking? Who cares if your friends stop and stare? You'll be proud to be married to Rosie, who was reared on the roads of Kildare. Well, Johnny came down from his mansion just as the sun had gone down, turning his back on his kinfolk, oh, likewise his dear native town. I am facing the roads of old Ireland, for a gypsy he loved so sincere. As he neared to the lights of the campfire. Oh, these are the words, did he? For she sang Meet Me Tonight by the campfire. Oh, come with me over the hill. Let us be married tomorrow. Oh, please let me whisper, I will. I and what if the neighbours are talking? Who cares if your friends stop and stare? He'll be proud to be married to Rosie, who was reared on the road of Kildare. Oh, he'll be proud to be married to Rosie, who was reared on the roads of Kildare.
Whee, wonderful, wonderful. Thank you, Keith. That's great. Oh, fantastic. What a voice, what a voice. Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah, I mean, you don't... you're all right with that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I love that. Fantastic. Great song. And Pete, I mean, you're still singing those songs, aren't you, in the Grapes these days?
Those songs, I've sung that so many times, I might have sung three verses repeated over in that song, what I've just sung. I don't know, because I sing them so often. Yeah, they're asked for so many times.
Yeah, wonderful, wonderful. And it's great for a wider audience to hear your voice, because yeah, every session I hear you sing, it just gets you. You bring the place alight. It's fantastic. And you won't have it, will you? You don't like compliments?
No.
There you go. Yeah. But no, in terms of your like going out to the Grapes now, you kind of mix it up a bit now, don't you? So you go to also did you go in the Grapes, Dog and Partridge at all?
I go in the Dog and Partridge now and again.
So you wanted to mention Sharon, didn't you? So you
I do want Sharon. To mention Sharon because I started going to the Dog and Partridge and then like John Dowling and Lovely Bloke, but I was in. There's a reason why I want to mention Sharon, because Sharon is such an ambassador for the area still.
Yeah.
I mean, today, she's known as Sharon Dreads, and that's her name, and why shouldn't she be? But she is such an ambassador for the area and for the music, the Cranberries and everything else. Yeah. And she knows I love her dearly.
Yeah, she's been on the show herself.
I know, she has. Yeah, yeah. I heard her. And, she's now... She's going all over the place,
yeah,
playing her songs and distributing the music, and it's all of an era. The music that she sings now, it still takes me back to those days, because Mick Rafferty, he was a fabulous singer. He's passed away now, I'm afraid. But I was in the Dog and Partridge one night, quietly sitting there, and. In walks this group of people. To me, these people were legends, and they were, I couldn't say that I knew them. I didn't know them.
Yeah.
But for some reason, they all sat at the side of me. They all sat around me.
Yeah.
And this was a John Dowling. No, I'm sorry. It was a Reg Heath night.
Yeah.
And they all sat around me, and I didn't realise in that moment. I'd got Steve McNamara sat at one side of me.
Yeah.
I got Mick Rafferty sat at the other side of me. I got Jason Humphries, that we don't see very often these days, and he's much missed, you bugger. Where are you?
I know. Well, I've asked him to be on the show many times, yeah.
Well, he should be. There was Jason, there was... Is Ian Tether? Ian Tether, a fantastic musician. We never see Ian anymore. Mm-hmm. There was Mick Machin, still... Well known around the area. But I'm surrounded by all these, what can I say, all these legends, all these giants. And Steve Mack sang a song, he sang The Dutchman.
Yeah.
And I can remember it as clear as anything today. And he turns around to me and says, I understand you sing. And I thought, well, the hell have you been told that? Cause, you know, he says, sing the song, come on. And Mick Rafferty says to me, he says, come on, sing the song, sing the Scottish song. So I sang Glencore.
Right. So this was just by accident they sat next to you. You were just sat there and...
I don't know why I was... I can tell you the exact reason why they sat near the side of me. It's because I always used to sit near the toilets.
Yeah, yeah.
Purely and simply to keep out of the way of all the showmanship going off at the end of the room.
Yeah, so usually the musicians sit at the far end, didn't they?
That's right, yeah. And I just wanted myself to be a bit quiet and being who I was and what I was and the state I was in. And so I used to sit almost next door to the toilets. And they all walked in, and one of them says to me, could you push up a bit? So I ends up pushing up halfway down the chest. And then I've got McGrafty, and I'm surrounded by all these legends, all the total legends. And then that's how I got to know McGrafty.
Yeah.
And then McGrafty says to me, you know, you've got a great voice on you, which was very complimentary of him.
Yeah.
He says, I want you to come down and meet a young lass, or to hear a young lass.
Yeah.
He says... not everybody knows it yet. And we went down to a pub called The Meadow. Oh, I think it was on Meadow Street, called The Meadow, I'm sure he did. And there was Sharon. There was Sharon Dreads, a young lass, singing and belting them out like you've never known. And I have to tell you, in those days, what they call the Irish Triangle, it wasn't just Irish, but the music that came out of there was unbelievable.
Fantastic.
The quality of it.
Yeah.
And I have to say, Sharon, if you're listening, you were a great part of that jigsaw because it was gorgeous at that time.
Yeah.
And she, I mean, Sharon now are friends to this day.
Yeah.
I love her to pieces. So that's why I wanted to mention
Sharon. And Sharon keeps it going. Sharon's, it was great having her on the show, but she's so busy now, which is fantastic to see.
Yeah.
She was able to pack in a day job and just do music, which is fantastic. So she's playing, Sharon Dreads, I look her up. She was playing all around Sheffield. Pretty much all the time, isn't she? So it's fantastic.
Yeah, she is. And I keep getting invites on my Facebook and everything else. One of these days I'll make it, Sharon, but I can live in dreams.
Yeah, yeah.
As Roy Orbison does.
is that a link to your next song?
Well, why not?
So go on, tell us why you picked this one then.
Because I love noise. I love sound. Well, I say I love noise. I love sounds. I love musical sounds. And to me, Roy Orbison has got one of the most beautiful voices that I've heard, and that's, I like Elvis and everything else and other people, but Roy Orbison is a very pure song, and I love the harmonies and everything else that he can inflict on his voices.
Did you like Roy when you were a teenager child?
Yes, I did.
So you're a bit young for Roy when he first came out, are you?
I was born 51.
Yeah,
so my days were sort of Buddy Holly and all this lot, and then coming through the Beatles and all that lot.
Yeah, yeah.
But as soon as the Beatles came on the show, so did Roy Orbison. Roy Orbison was part of that.
So it was part of your teenage years.
Yeah.
So I've heard you sing a few Roy Orbisons as well, but we won't do that tonight. We'll let Roy do it. So this is In Dreams by Roy Orbison.
A candy-coloured clown they call the Sandman tiptoes to my room every night, just to sprinkle stardust and to whisper, go to sleep, everything is all right. I close my eyes, then I drift away. My dream. can't help it, I can't help it if I try. I remember that you said goodbye. Too bad all these things can only happen in my dreams. Only in dreams. In beautiful dreams.
Yes, lovely, lovely. Lovely bit of Roy there.
Fabulous.
It kind of suits your voice, Roy, as well, doesn't he? You know, he's had that kind of, what do you call it, kind of crooning, isn't it? It's like a level above crooning.
There's
crooning.
A lilt to Roy's.
Yes.
There's a magic to his voice, all of it.
Yes, that's what it is. So, yeah, we're getting towards the end, Keith. It's going quick. We've got less than 15 minutes left to cover the rest of your life. It feels like we've just meandered beautifully through the hour, which is nice. I've got to know you a little better, but you're still quite guarded, aren't you? I think what's got.
Am I?
I think so. And I know, so I'd like to know more about. Let's talk about your wife then, of 57 years, Chris, is it?
Yeah, it's Chris.
So how did you meet Chris?
Well, we met on a blind date on Halloween.
Right.
I'm not lying to you. We met on a blind date on Halloween.
Who organised a blind date though?
My mate's girlfriend. I thought I was going to be meeting 13 people. And Steve, my mate, he's passed away now. God love him. But he arranged this. He said, I need you to come out with me. He said, we're meeting a bunch of people in town.
Yeah.
Of course, we were coming from Hackenthorpe. My wife came from Hillsborough.
So, opposite end of town. For people that don't know, for our international listeners that don't know Sheffield very well, it's one end of Sheffield to the other, isn't it?
It is. It's a blooming long way to walk, I'll tell you about that, which I didn't often. But, I guess this, my mate says to me, he says, come on, I need you to come out with me. There's a bunch of people coming, I don't know them.
Yeah.
He said, I need a mate outside of me. So I said, okay. So we get on the bus, gets off the bus in Pond Street bus station.
Centre of town.
At the other end of town, in the middle of the town, and I'm going to swear, bugger me, there's 2 women, and that's it. There's no 13 other people. But, I'll say public, there was the most beautiful, stunning person you've ever seen in all your life. She was stood there, and she's looked at me going out, she's expecting 13 people.
Okay.
And I'm expecting 13 people. And the truth is, I got off the bus, and before I got to the other platform, I was holding a hand. Oh. And the rest is history. And our anniversary is Halloween night, blind date. I bought to go faster stripes for a broomstick, and away we went.
Oh, fantastic.
We were away there. And so, yeah.
So you both felt the same pretty instantly then?
No. She hurt me gut. I put her on a bus at Manor Top. She didn't know where she was. She didn't know where she was going. I didn't know where she was going.
Yeah.
But I was just a shy, quiet 17-year-old boy.
Yeah.
And I didn't have much confidence with the opposite sex, if you like. I don't know why I even grabbed hold of her hand. I don't know where that came from.
Wonderful.
But I did. And I'm glad I did.
And you stayed in touch and saw her again, because there was no texting, was there?
No. The phone was ringing and one thing, and we're married at 18.
Ah,
quick. I had a baby on the way.
Yeah.
My daughter Nicola. And I had another daughter come, that was Helen. Hello, Helen. They're both absolutely gorgeous, and they've both done really, really well.
Great.
And I couldn't be prouder of them. I've got grandkids, I've got great grandkids now. I've got a great grandson, Eddie.
Yeah.
I'm a very, very lucky person.
Which one's the one that brings, you take to the grapes, the one you drag in the grapes?
That's Helen. Helen's
no, the lad, the lad, the lad.
It's her lad that come.
Yeah.
He's my grandson, and it's Helen's lad, Jack.
Yeah.
And he'll be blushing now mentioning his name.
He's a lovely lad. No, I've chatted to him a few times.
Yeah, but now I've said it on international radio. he'll be laughing.
Well, we are running out of time. I think we'll try and... Well, definitely, what I'd like you to do is sing us another song, if that's all right, Keith.
Really?
I would love that. you can choose. Have you got one in mind?
Well, I don't know. I actually like Raglan Road.
Yeah?
But there's so many. I mean, I met somebody in a pub coming here tonight. I just called him for a quick loosen up for the throat, and they were talking about Caledonia. They were Scottish. So I don't know.
You choose, honestly, you whatever you feel comfortable.
Well, I know my wife likes Raglan Road.
Do that one then. Go on, we've just been talking about it, yeah.
Raglan Road. Do Raglan Road. If you don't mind.
After you.
On Raglan Road of an autumn day, I saw her first. And I knew that her dark hair would weave a snare. Oh, that I might one day rue. I saw the danger, yet I passed all along the enchanted way. Oh, and I said like grief, we are fallen late at the dawning of the day. On Grafton Street in November, we tripped lightly along the ledge of a deep ravine where can be seen the truth of passion's pledge. Oh, the queen of hearts still making tats. Aye, but I'm not making hay. For I love too much, and by such is happiness thrown away. I gave her gifts of the mind, I gave her the secret sign that's known to the artists who have known the true gods of sound and storm. And word and tint without stint, sure I gave her poems to say, with her own name there and her own dark hair like clouds over fields in May. Now on a quiet street where the old ghosts meet, I see her walking now away from me so hurriedly. Oh, my reason, it must allow that I love not as I should, but a creature made of clay. Oh, when the angel woes the clay, he'll lose his wings at the dawn of day.
Hey, wonderful. I love it. I love it. Absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Keith. We're running out of time quickly. There's so much we've not spoke about, Keith. I don't know what to do in such a short amount of time, but it is just going back to you singing how lovely your voice is, and that I suppose that chance moment you were saying that you singing to yourself, really, when listening to another choir in Stannington.
That's right.
And now got picked up and you joined the choir. And then just tell us a bit about that. So you got to tour all around Europe and you singing.
Actually, I'll give you a quick instance now about me. I sang with the Warren Mail Voice Choir. I was made a member of them. And we got invited to sing at the Royal Albert Hall.
Fantastic.
And I was so nervous letting people down. They all practice singing three times a week. I couldn't make it three times a week because we've got a burger van, so we can't get out.
Whatever. Yeah, yeah.
And I felt I was letting everybody down.
Yeah.
So we got this concert at the Royal Albert Hall, 3,000 voices, I think it was. And I was worried about my one voice letting everybody down. So I'm afraid we had a few bevies. And I found a pub that would let all the choir go back to and have a few jars and sing after the concert and everything else. But in doing that, of course, you've got to taste the local product, haven't you?
Yeah.
And so I was a little bit tipsy. So I wasn't going to sing with the choir. So we ended up in the high gods
In the Albert Hall, yeah. So you're in the audience, basically, yeah.
So I ended up singing with the choir, but I wasn't in the choir.
yeah.
And
did you have a part and stuff? Was you like, are you like baritone? Whatever?
Well, I'm baritone second tenor.
Yeah.
And occasionally tenor if I can, somebody treads on my toe. I'm baritone second tenor. And it's a good mix for the right songs. But on that particular night, it was a great mix.
Yeah.
Because I didn't give a beggar. Because I'd had a few jars on.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you, the after show at the Royal Albert was a great session as well. And there was a lady with pink hair behind the bar, and I didn't buy a drink all night.
Fantastic.
I said, God, I had taken 56 people from the choir into the
drink. So there you go. So they did well as well. So we've only got 4 minutes left, but I think we should play out with your Hebrew Slaves Chorus, yeah?
I would love that.
And again, I suppose that's associated with that time of your life, those kind of singing, is it?
Or? Actually, no. The Hebrew Slave Chorus is associated quickly with a song that came into my head and I could not get out of my head. And I asked some friends of mine, have they heard this song? So I cannot get rid of it. And we're now talking about Tim and Julie Cole. And Julie came back to me the week after. She said, it's the Hebrew Chorus. All I could remember was the tune.
Yeah.
So I hummed the tune for them, they told me what it was, and this is what you're going
to
play.
So this is a song you love very much and means a lot to you. Sorry.
There's a sound to it.
Thank you, Keith. We are going to play all this song because it's got the chorus at the end, but that's all we've got time for, Keith. But thank you so much for being a guest. Thanks for singing. And we'll see you all again next week. We've got a good guest next week again for Deserted Islanders. But thank you and good night.